We've done that in the past, but the Holy Trinity has given us the opportunity to go forward, to choose how we honor God from this day forward. Welcome to Harbor of Joy as we honor our Lord today. I do have a couple of announcements. I spoke a minute, and I see Avis Davis is here. I spoke a minute with her this week. She just wants us to know that she is so thankful to so many people for the kindnesses and the support that she's been receiving. I also want to remind you about the time change. Don't forget to set your clocks next week, as evidently time change. So we're happy about that. That's what I was told. And I will go through some usual communion notes here. You know, they are redundant, but it's important that we do say them each time we have communion. At Harbor of Joy, all who believe in and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior are welcome to receive communion. The ushers will guide everyone forward to a choice of two stations. And if you wish to be served grape juice instead of wine, simply hold your hand out to the server with your palm down, and the server will provide you with grape juice. If there is a need to be served in your seat, please inform an usher so the servers can come to you. And the last thing, for those watching from another location, you are always encouraged to prepare some bread and grape juice or wine to serve yourselves as the congregation is being served here. And there is one more announcement, Angela. She may need your...
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Good. Well, I've got some exciting news. First, I want to say thanks to God for sending all these different candidates to our church. So on Easter Sunday, we're going to have a guest pastor. Pastor Chris Townsend has applied to be our intentional interim pastor. Well, what does an intentional interim pastor do? Well, he comes in and he gets to know each and every one of us. He not only just visits with us, he gets involved in the community. He gathers all this information, and if there are any suggestions to make our church stronger, he will then come to the board and kind of give us some suggestions to the church council, I should say. He does the exact same duties as a pastor. So a week or two ago, time tends to slip away, but Pastor Chris spoke with both Terry and Steve, and they were so impressed that they just said that this guy just really sounds like he's a good fit for our church. He took a leadership assessment that we have been giving to all of our candidates, and literally his values and his just everything aligns with what Harbor of Joy is. So just to give you an idea, Pastor Chris was born in Michigan, went to Luther Seminary up in St. Paul, Minnesota. He and his wife, Sarah, live in Arizona, and he's worked as a pastor at Lutheran churches throughout Arizona. He did complete the LCMC Intentional Interim Pastor Training, and so he has served doing this in Illinois, Florida, Arizona, and California, and also in Iowa. So in 2024, at the Our Savior's Church in Little Ottoman, Iowa, their pastor was killed in a motorcycle accident. So he served down in Ottoman for the last year and a half. And so Steve and I spoke to the president of that church regarding, you know, what was their experience with Pastor Chris and his wife, Sarah. And Steve and I spoke to him, and absolutely the best recommendation. So meanwhile, he's going to come up here and preach. But meanwhile, if he decides to take this, or we all kind of decide this, the call committee is still on duty. We're still trying to find a long-term pastor, but he is that person that can really kind of help us set up for success. So here's the timeline. The timeline is he and his wife are going to travel from Arizona and be up here Saturday, April 4th. Then on Easter Sunday, April 5th, he will preach for us. And then we are going to have a hot breakfast in the fellowship after church. And then he will meet with the call committee and the church council. And we're Lynn Ann, Christy, and I, we're kind of putting an agenda together. So when he's here to talk with different people here in the congregation. And then the Sunday after Easter, April 12th, the call committee will all come together and make a recommendation to the church council, which would be April 14th, and meaning that he could be here as soon as May 1st. And with that being said, as you know, as we get into the craziness of summer up here, housing is hard. So if you, I've reached out to different camps on temporary housing. So please specifically pray that God opens up a door for us to have he and his wife come and we could possibly find housing for him. So if you know of any temporary housing whoever, either Pastor Chris or somewhere down the road, please get a hold of the call committee or the church council, but we're here to serve. So again, very, very excited. And I want to say thank you for the prayers, because honestly, the prayers in this call committee have been fantastic. And I want to say thank you. And thank you for this time. I know I only said 2 minutes, but it kind of went over. So anyway, thank you.
Why don't you stand when we sing Near the Cross, and you'll be all ready then for Passing the Peace.
Free to all of
pass the peace.
Is that it for us?
I can shake.
I think we can go sit down.
Yeah, because the message and then doxology and then as the
journal. We'll come up. Okay.
You guys can sit down.
Peace, Karen.
Peace the Lord be with you, Karen.
Huh?
Peace the Lord be with you.
You too. Go ahead, Pat. We'll find our seats and proceed.
Our call to worship is from the Lutheran Book of Worship. Lord, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within us and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceit and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, bring us near you as we worship you now and throughout the week. And the responsive reading, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgment he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servants, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan to the portion of your heritage. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we welcome you into our service this morning. We ask you to fill our sanctuary with your presence and with your power and for your Holy Spirit to fill the hearts of each person present. I pray for our hearts and our minds to become with you, Lord, as we sing praises to you and as we give our full attention to your Holy Spirit-inspired message. I ask you to bless Becky with the words that you want her to speak. And I pray, Lord, that we not only hear your message, but that we live it every day. You know, Lord, everything that is in our hearts, the worry, the fear, the discouragement, the heartbreak. But we pray that everyone who enters your church will feel your love, your compassion, and experience your forgiveness. Your perfect word tells us to cast all of our worries and fears on you, Lord, because you care for us. You care for every one of us. Because of your goodness and faithfulness, we can find peace, true peace, in your presence. May we each be filled with your divine sense of calm and be assured of your love for each and every one of us. Father God, we seek your wisdom and your guidance in our church for a new pastor. Help us to be patient and to be open to your will for Harbor of Joy. You, Lord, of course, already know who that person is. And so we ask that our search be led by your Holy Spirit, and may our decision line up with your will. Jesus, you have told us to love one another and to worship together. We hope, Lord, that you witness this in Harbor of Joy. And we ask for you to pour out your grace, your peace, and your blessing over this church and to all who attend. I pray, Father God, that everyone in this church will share your fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control with all who enter our church. To you, Almighty God, be all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture today is John 15:13-15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. There are other scriptures that I drew from for this time for us to be together. I won't read those, but I will refer to them. John, there are three from John. One of them in John 13 depicts an intimate, close-knit relationship where his disciples, especially John, leaned on Jesus during the Last Supper. And John 11 shows Jesus' deep emotional connection with his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, where he hurts with them during their sorrow. John 15 is the analogy of the vine and the branches, illustrating the essential loving and sustained connection between Jesus and his followers. In Luke, there is demonstration of his relaxed conversational friendship while spending time in the home of his followers. And Mark notes that Jesus pointed these 12 men especially to be with him, that they might be with him. Let's just take one more second to pray. Lord, we know that your desire to be with us is important to you in every part of our lives. So we ask you to guide us as we contemplate these words. Amen. Many of you know that I like to repurpose things, especially furniture, and more especially tables. I'm not sure how this love of tables in particular began. Maybe it has something to do with the social aspect of it. I just love sitting around a table with friends and family, relaxing and visiting together. And it may go back as far as my childhood. In my great-grandmother's house, in her dining room, there was a heavy oak round antique table on huge central pedestal with these big curved legs. And as a little girl, I was often seated at that table, most likely eating peanut butter and jelly, homemade grape jelly sandwich. After my folks bought that house from that great grandmother and inherited that table, my dad made extra leaves and special supports for it so it could be extended to seat as many as 14 people at once. Nobody left that table hungry, and lots of holidays, nobody left that table for hours. There were many words and much laughter shared there. A little later, we will go, as we often do, to Christ's table. When I come to the Lord's table, it means a great deal to me, as I believe it does to each of you. It's important to consider what that meal meant to Jesus on that Thursday evening before his physical sufferings began. Scripture relates that there were still things Jesus wanted to tell his disciples that night of the Last Supper, so he brought those men, his very special chosen, around a very special table for a very special meal. As he communed with them over bread and wine, he wanted to make it clear to them the amazing significance of that meal. And we know it wasn't just any old thrown together meal. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all wrote of the detailed directions Jesus gave to Peter and John regarding the preparations for that time together. Although Jesus knew the significance of that meal for his disciples, I assume they had no idea what would it would come to mean to all of us so many generations later. For one thing, I think Jesus wanted time with these men that he loved so much. He had already spent time gathering them to him and traveling with him. He had given so much of himself to bring them close to him, and I believe he really enjoyed being with them. There were very serious times, but also some very lighthearted times as they traveled together. Jesus wanted just a little more time with them as he brought them together again to hear his final words to this small group of brothers. And as well, he wanted another opportunity to teach them. He had already taught them through things like parables and personal examples of how they would need to continue his work. But that Thursday evening, even though they made it a bit difficult for him, especially Peter, he wanted to teach them at least one more thing by his example of washing their feet, that they needed to love each other and to take care of each other. He also wanted them to understand that they had his support, even though he wouldn't be with them. He had already sent them out, two by two, to teach them to support each other as they traveled to spread his message and do his work. And he had given them a great example of his support when he lifted Peter out of the water and brought him safely back to his fellow disciples. What an example of strength and support Jesus wanted to impart to each of them, even though he would eventually be physically gone from them. They didn't yet know that he would later be sending the Holy Spirit to give them strength and support, but he did. I think it's important to recognize that the things he was trying to convey to them then are the same things he's trying to convey to us now. So what do we do when we come to the communion table? We honor Christ, but only if we give him the proper place in our lives. If we come to him in repentance, ask him to be our Savior, and stop doing the things that hurt him. Are we going to fail? I know I am. Shall I mention road rage? I get so upset when I have the right of way at an intersection, but another driver pulls out and turns immediately in front of me across my lane. Perhaps it seems I would be mature enough and patient enough that I would not deliver my opinion. But sometimes my horn is just too easy to reach. In those cases, I'm certainly not the best example of the Christian faith. And my list of failures could be very long and much more personal. But I'll get back to the subject. When we do fail, we must start over and try again. That means we sincerely make every attempt to change from our old sinful actions. And it's not okay to tell ourselves, well, I'm sure Jesus will understand. He'll give me grace for my actions. I'll just do what I want this time and then ask for forgiveness. After all, he is the God of love. So I ask you to contemplate one more idea. Think for a minute about your very best friend, the one who knows your heart and understands you the best, the one you go to for solace and who would never break your confidences, the one you can't wait to have fun with, the one who will stand by you in any experience, even if their presence doesn't actually change the situation. And then, think how differently you might feel about someone suffering unbelievably and dying on the cross for you if that someone was your very best friend. Can you imagine standing at the foot of a cross and watching that very best friend hang there willingly, suffering in your place to protect you from an eternal life of suffering, giving you the opportunity for the two of you to be together throughout eternity? Would the choice Jesus did make to die in your place be more meaningful if it was your very best friend that you watched suffer and die for you? As we continue to prepare for receiving communion, remember that no matter what you've done, the man who died on that cross for you always wants to be your very best friend. Go to him. Picture yourself as you sit at his very special table, bowing before him, sharing all your failures, your needs, your secrets, your concerns, and your joys, your gratefulness, and your love for him. He will always be there to receive your love as you honor him with yours. And we will continue our communion service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of your hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we take a few seconds for silent reflection and examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. We praise your name.
Thank you. share the presence of your love. As the grains of wheat once scattered on the hill were gathered into one to become our bread, so may all your people from all the ends of earth be gathered into one in you. Let this be a foretaste of all that is to come. All creation shares this feast. Scattered on the hill, we're gathered into one to become our bread. So may all your people from all the ends of the earth be gathered into one in you.
You may be seated.
Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take it and eat it, and do this in remembrance of me." In like manner, after the meal, he took the cup. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for your sins and the sins of many. Drink you all from it. Do this in remembrance of me." All is prepared. You want to do the wine?
Thank you. system.
Together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's stand together as we repeat the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son.
With the Father
and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And our benediction this morning. We are blessed with the sure knowledge that Christ has paid the full price for our redemption once and for all time. We are set free to be a blessing to all we meet this week as we eagerly await Christ's return. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.